that was also just a crazy moment for me, because damn, I can just articulate pretty well what I want to say, so people get it, and once people get it, they'll understand. I don't even have to say anything. Like, I think that sometimes a picture speaks for itself, and then from that on, like, the dream of meeting Skepta like became more realistic.
On this week's episode of Hello Hello Kopi Kamilo podcast, we have Abi PSP, also known as Abdullah. He's a photographer, videographer.
You want me to be featured on my podcast, bro?
Music enthusiast. He listens to Tyler Creator, Tyler Kweli, Mos Def. His dream is one day to be capturing moments for Skepta. He loves photography and visualization and perspective. Abi would one day be one of the best photographers and videographers out there. Hopefully, we'd get a chance to collaborate real soon. Who knows? You never know. Enjoy the podcast. Remember, the journey is everything. The beginning is always hardest, but keep on grinding, ladies and gentlemen. Listen harder, man. Speak soft.
You're in Germany right now.
Yep. Mannheim, Germany.
Yeah, bro. You're all grown up, man. You're a man now. You're a man in Mannheim.
Yep.
How does it feel like to be you, man, Abi? For those who don't know what you do, like your passion and stuff.
Yeah.
How would you describe yourself, man?
I'm an interested human being. I like photography a lot. That's photography and videography. That's where I'm hoping my future lies.
Mm-hmm.
And just interested in people. Cultures, music, art, so different stuff, creativity, everything that's creative.
How did you become the person that you are today, man? Because I feel like your upbringing is unique.
Yeah, very much.
And very different from the rest, especially different from people in Malaysia, but also in Germany.
For sure. I think it's most probably my grandfather and my mother, because my grandfather is like one of the greatest people or men in general that I know.
In what sense, though? You mean you?
I don't know. It's just he's just a sick human being. You know, it's just like his whole vibe. He has so much wisdom, and I feel like the way he thinks about stuff and like if there's anything like I don't know the answer to, like deeper questions that we can't answer as human beings, like death and stuff like that, you know, I could talk to him. And
this is your mom's dad?
My mom's dad, yeah. And he was also like kind of my father figure, because when my parents split up, like he was there when my mom had to work. He was always taking care of me, and so like he shaped my whole life and my mother, I guess. And yeah, just his wisdom is like unlike anyone else I know, and he has the craziest stories and stuff like that. Like he was on a ship, he told me like crazy stories when he came from Egypt to Germany and stuff like that. It's just the craziest stuff like you've ever heard. When he visited us in Malaysia, when we lived in Malaysia, He like every night he continued the story of telling me how he got to Germany, and he went to Greek, and he kind of flew out of Egypt, and like he said, like he just left his family, his parents, his brothers, his sisters in Egypt, and he just had to get out of there. And then I don't know, he got into a car with some random guy, drove somewhere like to Greece. And then worked as he worked on a ship as like the staff on a ship, and he sailed all across the ocean, saw like whales and stuff like that, and he almost died in the basement of the ship, where like all the like steam machines and stuff like that are. He tried to repair it. He told me a story where he got drunk with wine, but he didn't even know it was like alcohol. He didn't know what alcohol was, you know. And they told him, yeah, it's grape juice. He was like, tastes good. And then he drank, and then he got drunk. And like, he's a Muslim man, so he doesn't drink, you know. But he didn't know what it was, and then he got drunk. It's like, I don't know. It's just crazy, you know. And yeah, I would say most definitely, like, he kind of shaped my life. And then my mother just great bring up. And yeah, I've always had the like best opportunities, you know. And like, I can't complain at all.
Yeah, I mean, how does it feel like now that you have siblings, rather than comparison to back in probably 10 years ago when you were alone? Does it feel different?
Kind of course, because it's not just me anymore. It's not just me anymore that my parents have to worry about. And also, it's, I know it's like a sense of responsibility, but I don't really see it as that much responsibility, because I'm still like kind of just caring too much about myself, maybe, you know. But it's not that big of a difference, but maybe it's also because I was kind of smaller, you know. Like, when my sister was born, I was 8, so I can't really remember, you know. Didn't have that many responsibilities.
Okay, you spoke of your grandfather, right? Did he influence you in any way of your music listening?
No, the music listening was just my uncle, I think. Because I remember days when my granddad didn't even listen to music. Oh. He told me to shut off the music, you know. Damn. He is that kind of old school guy. But it's interesting because now I can listen to music with him and he'll like understand. But like back then, I remember when I listened to stuff, like, he was like, "Nah, shut that off, man. Like, don't listen to music," because like, I guess that's what he thought was right at that time. But then I think as time went on, now he's listening to music in the car and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it's like kind of interesting as well to see. But with the music wise, how I got all the taste in music, I would say I got it from my uncle when I was 8. I told you the story yesterday. When I was 8, he gave me this small little black iPod and then that was all these like good musicians on there, like Aphex Twin, Mos Def, Talib Kweli, like just sick musicians, you know. And just sick music in general, and Outkast as well. Outkast, so yeah, it's like still musicians that I listen to like to this day. Yeah. Like Outkast, like Andre 3000, it's like the GOAT, you know. Like that's like one of my dreams, to meet that guy. And Mos Def as well. I just earlier, like, I thought about what to achieve next year, and I wrote down I want to meet Mos Def next year.
Wow.
So actually, I, you know, when you talk to my parents about, like, it's only like 4 weeks until 2020.
Yeah.
So then I just thought of stuff and wrote that down.
Damn. Yeah, man, it's 4 weeks, 2020, and well, life is moving so fast. At the same time,
for sure, yeah.
At the same time, like, I feel like also the things that I talked about yesterday. Of manifesting things into existence, kind of thing.
Yeah, talking like, things like to in existence.
Saying it and then believing it and then seeing it come into fruition, right?
I don't think you can like comprehend like the power of just saying stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Because it's like if you put it out there, like it can happen. Pretty much anything can happen,
yeah.
You know? Yeah. It's like it's crazy. Like what are the odds that in a kid at my age, you know, already met all the people I met, you know, and it doesn't really make sense, but I guess everything doesn't really make sense, you know.
Yeah.
Like life does make sense, but that's also kind of the beauty in it, I think. And I don't know, it's crazy.
Yeah, man. And it's like I feel that for myself as well, and that is why I feel like the people that vibe the same way always connects with me again somehow.
Yeah.
Because when you're, like I said, also it's also like tied down to the conversations little by little that we had throughout the day. Like if someone has the same goal and the lines, and I hope that someone will actually cross paths with me.
For sure it will happen.
Yeah.
And you know, like I thought like this whole thing isn't like easy, you know, to get where you want to get and to achieve your goals. But I feel like it's like everything that stands in your way, or that makes shit harder for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's just there to test how much you want it, you know.
Mm.
I feel like that's, and success is like, I think just knowing when the opportunity comes, you have to be ready, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because when, like, you can dream about stuff, but then when the opportunity comes and you're not ready, then, you know, you fucked up. you know, like, what are you gonna do? So I think, like, to be successful, you need to be ready to take that opportunity and make it into something bigger. That's why you can think, oh man, why aren't I doing that or doing this and doing that? It's just because you're not ready yet, I think. Mm-hmm. And one day, like, the day will come where your opportunity arises, and then you have to be ready, you know, and take it, and then like more doors will open. Mm-hmm. So yeah
man,
I don't know.
It makes sense. Like, I just wonder, like, how does it feel like to be what you are, coming from, I don't know, you mentioned the background that you were from Egypt, right? Ethnicity-wise, and also going to Malaysia, I feel. Like, that first time you were in Malaysia, and mm-hmm. your parents telling you that this is where you're going to be now.
Mm-hmm. Like, to be honest, like, I don't have that many connections to Egypt. Like, I've never been, or I've been, but I was like a baby, I can't remember. But I really want to go and make a small movie or maybe something. Like, I really want to just take a Super 8 camera and then just film everything. It's like, gets kind of cooler and cooler to me, like all the Arabic cities and stuff like that. Like, yeah, exactly. I really want to go to Morocco, because it just looks sick, the place, you know. And like, it gets more interesting for me. Like, for example, like when I was like, I think like 10, my parents like kind of forced me to learn Arabic in like the school, but I just didn't learn anything because I wasn't up for it. I wasn't open-minded at all. Like, I didn't want to learn it. Like, whenever I had to go there, I was like, damn, I don't really care, you know. I just really didn't care.
Yeah.
And the teacher only talked Arabic, so I didn't understand anything, you know. And I was like, I was just sitting there and I didn't care. So I didn't learn anything, basically. But now that I'm like thinking about it, I kind of like do actually want to like learn Arabic a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's like kind of cool to me because I'm different, you know, from everyone, from a lot of people around me. And I don't know. It's like, I see it as something positive, you know.
It is.
Being from somewhere else, like Africa, having like family in a different country, even though like the family I'm most of the family in Egypt I'm probably never gonna meet, and like, you know, I don't know whether that's a bad or good thing, but I don't really care for it that much, you know. But one day I'll go there and see everyone, you know.
It's crazy because like with your grandfather's story, right, him doing that, like crossing over to the other side and with the sheep and all that, back then there's no internet, right? So it's hard for you to trace back and go back in time and trying to figure out what he did. Nowadays, like,
it's just through the word of mouth.
And if I would try to replicate the same thing, because I feel like I'm about to do that, you know. Maybe I'm just saying it, I don't know, but I just feel it. Like,
you want something to happen,
and I have a funny feeling it will happen, and I have a funny feeling like I'm not gonna be based in Malaysia anymore. You know what I mean? For a while, at least.
It's like kind of subconscious, I think.
Subconscious, yeah. Or maybe
I think it kind of is. It's like a mixture between you wanting it to happen, and then also you seeing like
it's about to happen.
Something's coming into fruition, you know.
Yeah, and
something's
happening. And I feel it's happening. It's gonna happen, and it will happen.
Exactly.
And no wonder
you
I just
gotta be ready to take it, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
That's gotta comes be back ready. To what I said.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Exactly, and I no wonder I was feeling a little bit uneasy when I was in Malaysia all this while, because I feel like I don't belong there.
It wasn't it for you, I guess.
Yeah, I feel like I didn't belong there, but then everyone else felt okay. I was observing everyone else. Everyone else feels normal to my eyes, you know?
It sounds kind of stupid, but like, I guess life is just like a journey, you know? It's just one chapter of the journey, you know?
Yeah. So far, like, as a photographer, right, what was the craziest journey you've been on, like, as doing your work, like putting in the work and seeing things, seeing musicians, seeing artists.
So like,
what would be the craziest experience
if you've gone through so far? If I think about it, it's like the craziest thing is just that I met Lauryn Hill. But I mean, I can't really say I met her, you know, because I mean, I just shook her hand, said, Tyler, thank you for the show, you know, asked if I can take a picture, took a picture with my camera. Not the greatest picture I've ever taken by far, but it's still just a crazy moment for me. And then as far as like projects that actually showed to me that stuff can happen, in maybe OG Kimo, the guy that I was talking about, he's a rapper based out of Mannheim, and I've known about him for like 2 years now, I think, and he's getting bigger and bigger, and like I just seen today he dropped his new album, and like a week ago, and I saw he was like on plays 12 of the album charts or something like that, you know. So it's kind of like I've known him since the early days, so to say, and then I went to his concert, talked to him, he knew who I was, like, since I texted on texted with him on Instagram, which was kind of crazy as well, that he kind of knew who I was when I was like, we talked about this, and he was like, man, what's your Instagram? I told him, and he was like, ah, shit, I do know, you know. He had like a picture, you know. And then I went to his music shoot and took some pictures there, and I think that was like, and after that, you know, after I got the pictures, I did like this thing on the Instagram stories where you press and then it's one picture over the other picture over the other picture, and like I think just from the reaction, like a lot of people like the stories and told me, damn, that's sick, how do you do that and stuff like this. And then what I was telling you as well yesterday, I talked to the Skeptis friend, his name is Jammer, and one of the like father figures of grime, so to say, and I talked to him on the Instagram live stream, and that was also just a crazy moment for me, because I was looking at my phone, he was looking at his phone, and we were just talking to each other. But that was like a total vibe, you know. I could understand 100%. I could relate to what he was saying, and you could definitely understand me.
Yeah.
And he kind of got my vision, so to say, from just talking to each other on the phone.
Yeah.
So it was like, damn, I can just articulate pretty well what I want to say. So people get it, and once people get it, they'll understand. I don't even have to say anything. Like, I think that sometimes the pictures speak for itself. And then from that on, like, the dream of meeting Skepta, like, became more realistic, since I was like, okay, he follows me on Instagram. I text with him sometimes. I mean, it's not like we're buddies now, but, you know, it's, like, more realistic. And then I was like, a Skepta's friend is, like, a guy that worked with him that was there from the early days. And then I told my friend earlier this year, man, I can kind of feel it, like I'm gonna meet Skep the end of this year or early next year. And then like a month ago we went to the concert in Cologne, and I shot Skep's friend Shorty, and we stood there waiting for a friend to pick us up and go back to Mannheim. And then just like 10 meters away, Skepta was just standing in front of the bus. And then I was like, we're like debating on whether we should go up to him. And I was like kind of hesitant at first, and then I wanted to go, but then he left into the bus. And then like a day after, I was like kind of bummed that I didn't talk to him. But then after I thought about it, as I also told you yesterday, I was like, you know, maybe this wasn't the right time to meet him. And feels even more realistic now meeting him, you know. And that's also comes back to what I was saying, that you gotta be ready, like when the opportunity arises. And I just feel like that wasn't the opportunity, and still will happen, you know, next year.
Yeah.
So yeah, when I go to London, hopefully some
stuff's gonna happen. Who are you planning to meet specifically in London? You said.
So there's this DJ, his name is Damshek on Instagram. And you know, I talked to him on the live stream as well. And then I also, he was like, man, do you have a talent? And I was like, yeah, like I do take pictures. And he was like, ah, man, like, do you have a talent to show? Like, he thought like maybe I could rap or something like that. And I was like, nah, just pictures. And then he was like, okay, sick. And then I talked to him, told him some of the stories I just told, you know. Yeah, he was like, sick. So with the hair like this, you know, with that girl's, he was like, irrecognizable. And then if you come to London, we just shoot, you know. And maybe that will happen if I go to London. And then his, like, friends, he has this brand that is kind of sick to me. And, like, the guy that has the brand, from the beanie that's sang there. I think his girlfriend, I'm not sure, or just someone related to him, is like one of the best friends, one of Georgia Smith's best friends. So
that's a manifestation that you put out, right? You want to marry Georgia Smith.
for sure I'm gonna do it. No, but I mean, just it's just like people are related, you know. I feel like if you meet that person, that leads to the other, that leads to the other. It's like doors are open, you know. So it's just like taking the step, going to London, and actually just trying to connect with as many people as possible, and then from that, other doors will open, you know. And like, as I told you, like I don't think like I would have been ready to meet the people I have met already, or I wouldn't know how to like go up to them or talk to them if it wasn't for Malaysia. Because in Malaysia, like, the whole scene is like, I'm talking, if I say the scene, I'm talking like clothes, music, and just creatives in general. Like, it's smaller, so it's like you know who's who, you know. And for me, that was like kind of interesting experience to get to know all of these people. And I feel like all the people that kind of are relevant in the Malaysian scene, I've met, and they've seen me around like everywhere. And for example, shout out the Masters team. You know, Masters Malaysia, there I had my internship, and that was also kind of like an interesting experience.
It was a 2-month internship.
No, man, it was just 2 weeks.
2 weeks, bro.
Yeah, it was school internship, and we only got to do it for 2 weeks, but I just wanted to stay there, you know. I didn't really wanted to go back to school, but it was interesting experience, because that connected like all my hobbies into actually seeing, okay, you can actually work something that has to do with all this, you know. And I got to see the shoot for Stussy Kuala Lumpur, and met Sean. I know Sean Dabui for longer before I even had the internship of Against Lab. So model for Against Lab, which was funny because I never thought I was gonna model, because I'm always the guy behind the camera, you know. So in just seeing him doing his thing is like, was kind of inspiring and sick to me. And just getting to know all the people, you know, and sort of making kind of a name for myself, you know, because most of the people knew me from, just even if they didn't know my name, they knew who I was, you know. They saw me around, and that kind of like showed me how to maneuver, kind of, you know. So I'm very thankful for that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you did that at a young age. That was like about 2 years ago,
dude. Like, when I was there, I was like 14, 15.
Yeah.
I think even 13, but I think with like at the age of 14, I was like getting more.
I guess in that sense, I mean, there's two ways about it. Like, people say things come to you when it's supposed to come, timing's everything and all that. And for you, it's lucky you get to start young, and you have the family support as well. Like, your parents are pretty supportive, and
very, very much. Like, and without my parents, I probably, you know, because they even if they might not get it, you know, they just want me to do whatever, you know, just to be happy. And they you know, like, they just like whatever I want to do, they get it, you know. And sometimes it's like, okay, then go get your own money, basically. And then sometimes they just like, for my first cameras, you know, they bought me my first cameras, and they're like very supportive, like I would say money wise, you know, because without them I couldn't afford all this stuff, you know. Developing my film always, you know, I wouldn't be able to pay that if I had to pay all my films, you know. It's like over there's a box with all my developed film, and all that costs like, I don't know, 500 euros or more, you know.
Yeah,
like in, if, because I'm not able to work yet in Germany legally.
21? So
18.
Okay.
You're like, with 18 you're, with 16 you're allowed to work, but it's not like,
you just turned 17.
Yeah, just last week.
What, man?
So like next year, like end of next year, I'll work and then I'll get some money. I'll work in the cinema and then get 450 euros a month, I think.
Really?
So that's gonna be like kind of a lot for me. And yeah, my parents are like really like open-minded people, which I'm really lucky. And yeah, they try to just understand. And they'll understand even if they don't understand that.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
So yeah, in that sense, I'm very, very lucky.
How did you get started with photography, though? Do you remember? Like, what made you started taking photos?
So my earliest creative output, if you want to call it that, was like drawing. Mm. Like I've been like drawing like since forever, you know.
Oh shit.
Since I. Oh shit. Since like my
creative output.
Yeah, my if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
And my mom told me like as soon as I could hold a pen, like when I was like 3, I started like drawing stuff. Of course it wasn't good, but then I just always kept on doing that. And then eventually got like pretty good at it. Like I was always known for the guy that like draws and sketches. And then like when I guess I was like 14, this guy I followed on Instagram, Mr. Bianco, he's from Germany, and he's like he does photography for a hobby and then just like different stuff for brands. And like I've always followed him on Instagram, and then he had this blog, it's called Bianchissimo, or I'm not sure how to pronounce it, but I think that's how you pronounce it. And then he had this photography contest just for fun, and the theme was international youth, so whatever you could relate to youth, you just take pictures. And yeah, that was it. And then that's how I started shooting on film, because one of the rules was shoot film. And then I got a disposable camera, went to the Monkeara skate park and shot some people there. And then, like, when I got the pictures developed, I was, like, super stoked, even though they weren't even that great. But it's still, for the beginning, I'm still kind of happy with him. And he liked the pictures and featured me. It was, like, I think, like, 70 pictures. And it's, like, a lot of people that, like, sent in pictures. So that was, like, the first recognition, I feel like. And it was just with the first time I shot film, you know. So shout out to Mr. Bianco. Yeah. So but it's like all these people aren't really my friends, you know. I don't know them, you know, but it's like kind of like still, you're still kind of connected to them because you're, you know. But I just want to, like, it's not like I'm friends with all these people, you know.
Yeah,
but it's like that, like Instagram or like the internet, like for our generation, it's like everything is like way more accessible, which can be for the bad, but also for the good, mostly for the good, if you use it right. So like, it's just easy to get in touch with a lot of people, you know. If you're lucky, like people will just answer you on Instagram, you know, if you just shoot them a message. Like for example, there's this photographer, his name is Kian Moore, I think, on Instagram. His name is Sweet Kian, and he like he shot like Travis Scott and Sheck Wes and all these people, you know. And like I really like his pictures, like they're sick. And then I just sent him a couple of my pictures and told him that I was inspired by his stuff, and then he saw the pictures, liked some of them, and was like, yeah, man, just keep shooting, you know. And that was like kind of like, I would never, like, I just like sent some pictures to him just for fun, you know, kind of see if they,
I mean, people do check their DMs. That is the takeaway, though.
Yeah.
Like even if you don't know who, people are watching your stuff without you knowing, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And then the moment that you message them, the message are there. It's whether or not they choose to read it or mm-hmm. reply.
Yeah, yeah.
Most of the time they do read it, they just don't reply, you know. Yeah, yeah, but the chances are there.
But I mean, for the big guys, it's like, I don't think they're humanly able to read all of them, you know. So like, you could even just technically send like a DM to Tyler the Creator and then he might read that, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And
there are people that happen to, you know.
Mm-mm.
So I guess it's like, just like, just do whatever is in your power, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then whether he reads it, it's not up to you, you know. It's like, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't, you know. And then if something happens, you just make something out of this, you know.
Mm.
So it's like, yeah, just, I don't know, I just contacted a lot of people, like, on Instagram, you know. Conversation started, and yeah, so I would say I have some connections here and there. But also the thing is, like, whether you can use those connections is a different thing, you know.
Mm.
Like, you have to kind of be like slick about it, you know. You can't just like ask like, yo man, can you take me backstage or something like that. Mm. You know, you can't really do that, you know.
Yeah, so you gotta,
like,
be smart. And also about
it's
it.
Also like you also like find out your limits, you know, because it's like this big gray area and you don't know what to do and what to do, you know.
Mm.
And what not to do. So it's like you always have to like find out how to maneuver, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And like I it's still kind of interesting because like once I will hopefully like get to know all these bigger people, you know. It's like I'm gonna have to learn like how to maneuver that, you know.
Mm.
And it's like, it's not even just like bigger people, because at the end of the day, it's like they're all people, you know.
Mm.
So it's like sometimes I do think about it. It's like kind of weird that you look up to this and this, you know. But at the same time, I think it's like kind of logic that you do. But at the end of the day, it's like I shook Lauryn Hill's hand. It's still the hand, just from you. You know what I mean? It's like, it's just like any other hand, basically, you know.
Yeah.
But it's just the thing they've done for the culture makes it so much more interesting, I
mm-hmm.
think, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there are like also a lot of people I think that are like behind the scenes that you just don't know how much impact they've had on different stuff, you know.
Mm.
So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I also remember that you said with Skepta, right? Like,
yep.
Timing is everything. When you feel like something's not right,
yeah,
and you feel like maybe it's not the time yet, and yeah, I can relate to that. And also I've learned as well, being backstage, right? I had this moment, I don't know, I mentioned in one of my podcasts that I had this moment with Russ.
Yeah, did you meet him?
Yeah. Okay, I was about to tell you yesterday.
Tell me that story.
Yeah, I was about to tell you yesterday. Like, but then I forgot. I don't know why. I think someone changed the topic. I think we were outside. I don't know.
Did you get you beat up?
No. Okay.
I'm just.
Yeah, almost though. To be honest. Yeah. Okay, so I'm a huge fan of Russ. Okay,
yeah.
So they were in Malaysia. So the thing about Malaysia is
his song with Bia.
The one now is a big. That's his biggest song.
Yeah.
That is probably noticeable by the pub, by the majority of the people out there.
Okay.
Because Rihanna tweeted it or something.
Yeah, exactly. She added she posted a video of her on Instagram and
yeah.
The song was in the background.
Yeah. So Russ, I've been looking up to him. He's my age, and I feel his vibe with his messages. I mean, with all this manifesting, seeing things and believing into existence and all this, I believe the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I can relate to him, and I'm a big fan from way before he came to Malaysia, way before festivals and all that.
Actually, I just listened to an interview like a couple of weeks back.
Mm.
Big boy in the neighborhood.
Mm. He saw past me, bro.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and then after that, I went back in front. I enjoyed the whole show. He was literally, I was front stage, and his securities were eyeing me. A few weeks after that, I still think about it, and I realized why. What happened was, I shouldn't have went before the show. I should have went after.
What do you mean after? After the show? Or?
After the show. Okay. Because he only has a window of 2 minutes before the show and after the show. That's how fucking sick Malaysia's event is.
What do you mean 2 minutes? Just to chill backstage?
Bigger artists only have 2 minutes to chill backstage before they enter the show, perform, and 2 minutes.
But where's that?
I just realized it. I'm backstage. I'm observing. I've been observing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, Joji only pops up for 2 minutes, boom, perform, pump, boom, into the van, gone. So that he did, I don't know, they're pretty...
Okay, that's weird.
That's how they vibe in Asia.
Okay, that's really weird.
They don't really chill.
Because here, it was like, for example, the Talib Kweli concert I went to with my friend. Mm-hmm. I don't know why it happened, but we got backstage.
Yeah, that's why.
They chilled for like... They were backstage for 2 hours after the show. They just chilled there, smoke, you know, and just hung out there, you know.
I guess it's Europe, I guess. That's one thing I like about here. Like,
I don't know.
I mean, I
don't know if that's like typical. Would do what Russ did and be humble,
you would be so big, bro.
It's not even about being big. It's just about being this sick human, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
because that shows that you don't really have to be like all cocky about it, you know?
Yeah, that's what I see in probably Pharrell, probably in Tyler the Creator. You know what I mean? Is when I was backstage, there was like there was like stairs,
yeah,
to go up to the stage. Yeah. So Russ is sandwiched in the middle of like freaking four Nigerians or whatever. His best friends are all Nigerians.
Okay.
His security, his best friends, his super best friend, this guy called Boogers. He's a rapper as well. He replied my DM. Speaking of the DM thing, I know I Insta story.
Yeah.
I Insta story like, hey, Boogers and Russ, if you guys are backstage tonight, I'm going to see you tonight. That kind of thing. And then he replied, hey, hell yeah, man. I'm going to be there. See ya. Something like that. I'll show you the DMs, right? Yeah. And then after that, he fucking Insta storied me, bro. Like from the stage. He zoomed into me. I was front of stage. And then he's like, yeah, love your energy, dude. That kind of thing. So his best friend actually replied, but that guy that jumped on me was his security / whatever friend. Cousin or whatever.
He has one of his goons.
Yeah, one of his goons.
the infamous guys that jumped a lot of people.
But I sort of give me the fuel to like create my own thing and one day be on the same path with him.
Mm-hmm.
And say like, hey, thanks for not shaking my hand, because that's the reason why I'm here today.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. That's it, you know. Yeah, that's the right energy. I 100% get that.
No, there's this guy that sorry.
You could be like salty about it and be like, oh shit, man.
Yeah,
what a dick. He didn't even like, you know, care what I had to say. But it just popped up in my mind. Also, what I realized is that once you're like backstage somewhere, it might not even be the guy you're here for that is gonna like inspire you or put something onto your mind, you know?
Mm.
Like, for example, the Talib Kweli concert.
Uh-huh.
You know, I wanted to meet Talib Kweli. But at the end of the day, the way more interesting conversation I had with his DJ.
Mm.
And his DJ also felt my energy, gave me his number, you know?
Mm.
To send the pictures I took and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah,
so that's also what I kind of took away. It's like sometimes sometimes, like, for example, even on the Skepta concert, it wasn't Skepta that made my night. It was like kind of meeting Shorty for like real quick and just talking to him real quick, you know. But the whole Skepta concert is like was so sick. Like, I've never like experienced something like that. Just the energy was so crazy, and just him standing there was like, he's like the craziest man I've ever seen like live, you know. He's just standing there, and it's just like, dude, I don't know, it's like sick.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, that's life, man. That's why I think that's one thing we have in common. I feel the path that we are about to embark on, whatsoever it is, the entertainment industry, the music industry, whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we might cross paths again someday. Working together or something. Yeah. Sure. And what inspires you, man, apart from what you're doing? Like, don't fear the future. Are you? I mean, we all are afraid of the future, right? Yeah, what are you most afraid of about the future, man?
I don't think you should fear the future. You should more like be looking forward to it, you know?
Because
all this stuff doesn't make sense. It's all crazy, you know?
Yeah.
It's all just weird if you think about it. So it's like just live the moments, you know? Do what makes you happy, I guess. Which at least try. And also, like, saying, like, me saying, like, I just want to, like, do what makes me happy, and I don't care about a real job, you know? Like, I don't want to sit it somewhere and just earn money like a normal person does, you know? Like, like, quote-unquote normal guy, you know? Like, the, I don't know, like, eight-hour job a day, you know? Just, and that's all their life, you know? That's not gonna be me, you know, because I don't think, like, with my might, I can be boxed into doing the same things, like, every day, you know? So it's a luxury for us to say that, you know?
Yeah.
Because some people don't have the choice. They have to work to get, I don't know, to earn €3 a day so they can feed their family, you know?
€3 a day?
Yeah, like in Africa, shit, man. Like,
some
families only have €1.
Yeah.
Per day to feed a family with five people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's just a luxury to be able to say, I want to work this that makes me happy, you know? So that's just being in the position of saying, oh, I want to, like, pursue this creative thing. It's like, I feel very blessed to just, like, be able to say that. So, yeah.
Yeah, man.
Just, I don't know, just, I'm just happy, you know, that I'm actually in the position where I can try to pursue that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we are both lucky in a way, like you said.
Cause a lot of people are lucky. Yeah. But a lot of people, unfortunately, aren't. So,
I guess, speaking for the lucky ones, the most important thing is, like, we are always being grateful for what we have. And in the pursuit of what we want, also be absolutely okay and happy and contented with what we have, but not complacent in a way. You know, because, like,
also, like, I think my biggest blessing is just being me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, in a way, because, like, this mind I've gotten, you know, or this person I am, I think you should see that as a blessing as well, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Exactly, we are blessed with unique minds and perspective, exactly, yeah, and imagination.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that also, like, ties back to, like, like my grandfather, for example, you know, his father was like, it's also kind of crazy, my mom told me this, he was like held in prison in Egypt because he was like supporting the opposition of the president, whatever president that was, and he was like against a certain political party, and he was like tortured by the party that ruled Egypt, and he was just locked away for saying his opinion and stuff like that. So that's like crazy, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
And that shaped his father, that shaped his childhood, that shaped his adulthood, which then shaped my mother's, like, adulthood or life in general. And that now is me, you know? That now shapes me and like all this generation make the people that you are right now, you know?
Yeah, that's why I learned with this in Europe, though, like, we are passing down what we are to our kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I see little kids, like little kids, why do they say that? Because they picked it up from somewhere, you know? They don't just magically say it, you know what I mean?
We are all influenced by our environment.
The greatest thing
people
to
people around us.
Yeah. The thing that requires the most willpower is to actually be something that you are not, in a way, which means whatever you come from, and just break out of that mold and be something else. Where do you see yourself in probably like 3 years time, man? Like after the high school thing and after that 1 year gap, what do you think is gonna happen to you? 3 years could be long, could be short, but it's within reach, man. And 3 years sure, in this sure. day and age, things change so fast, man. The last 3 years of my life have been crazy.
I'd say I hopefully just for the start finished my school. Hopefully, like, kind of successfully. And then, as I said, my plan is, like, after school to just get some money first, like, work, just... And that, like, I don't even care what I'm working. It doesn't have to be fun for me. It's just for the purpose, you know, of getting money. And then saving up some money to be able to travel. And also... Of course, and thankfully my parents are gonna help me out, I think, with that as well. And then I'm just gonna hopefully connect with more people and build connections with people that I can later then make something out of, you know. Not using them, but just, you know, just building connections and getting to know people that know people. And, you know, that's kind of how it happens, you know, in this creative like space, I think. And then hopefully, like, by the time, by in 2 years times, I will already have like small jobs with photography. And then hopefully, like, I don't know, I kind of do hope that I don't have to study, because by the time I would start my studies, I'm already at a point where I'm making money off what I want to do. But we'll see, you know.
You could achieve your wildest dreams, right? What would be that one artist that you would be a personal photographer for?
That one artist?
Yeah.
I kind of guess, if I'm thinking about it right now, Frank Ocean. I guess Frank Ocean, but if it comes to... If you would ask me, like some people that I really want to meet, it would most probably be MF Doom. MF Doom and Madlib, crazy producer. I really want to meet him, and because he's just a legend, you know? And MF Doom, just one of the sickest rappers.
MF Doom behind the mask.
Actually, Tyler the Creator told the story where he saw MF Doom without a mask.
Yeah.
And there's this like really funny video of Tyler the Creator and Earl Sweatshirt meeting MF Doom, and Tyler the Creator and Earl Sweatshirt were just like freaking out. They were like, they couldn't believe it, you know. And then they were like, dude, we're the biggest fans, and just shook his hand, you know. And they were just like, you could see their excitement in the face. And then he was like, and Tyler the Creator said, like, you're wild, man. And then he was like, not as wild as you guys. It's just like, it's just this really funny video. And just MF Doom, then Frank Ocean again, Tyler the Creator, I really want to get to know him. Then Skepta, which I'm working towards. And I feel like I want to meet Kanye. And A$AP Rocky I really want to meet. Because I feel like A$AP Rocky is the guy, if you can like communicate your vision and he really understands it and he thinks there's potential there, he'll do stuff in his power to like put you on, or, you know.
Yeah.
I think he's that guy. Maybe he isn't, you know.
Yeah.
And it's also like, people say like don't meet heroes, right? But I feel like that statement is like a little bit stupid, because I do get why people say that, you know, because that person might just end up to be a dick, and then you're there and like everything is like kind of crushed, your imagination. But then at the same time, it's like if you could actually meet that person, why don't, you know? And
why don't see for yourself? Yeah. So it's like, yeah. And also I'm lucky, like I kind of feel like I have a gift. I can talk to people and easily communicate my point and feel like I can like bring across my vision easy. And I've seen with other people I know, they are not as good at like communicating their vision.
Mm-hmm.
And that just ends up being like really bad for them.
Yeah.
Cause they seem might seem arrogant. Because we are like kind of have this weird confidence about ourselves, you know, that that like people can't really see maybe. Cause like for me, like I'll say right now, like I'm definitely gonna be successful in the future, and I'll definitely achieve all the stuff I'm talking about right now. And it seems like there's no point of reference for that, you know. But we have this like weird feeling where we know it's gonna happen, or something is gonna happen.
Exactly.
And it's the most normal thing in our minds. But for the people around us, it's not, you know.
Yeah, it's weird.
and it's this weird thing, I think, where you can really mess up in trying to communicate that with other people.
Because
if you say, I'm going to meet ASAP Rocky, they're just going to think like, yeah, say that you're not going to meet him, you know?
Mm.
But then it's like, for me, it's like, why would you question that? You know, why would you question that? That's 100% going to happen, you know?
Mm.
Yeah. So like stuff like sounds more realistic, I think, for myself. And I just thought about it. I think like my biggest fear would be like to have all these like dreams and not being able to achieve all like not being able to achieve anything, and for all those dreams to stay dreams, you know. I think that's like the biggest fear for a creative, you know.
Yeah, it's that anxiety and constant comparison with others, and also being having that fear of not, it's like too far of reach. Your goals are too far fetched.
I kind of feel though that no dream is too far.
Yeah.
It sounds stupid and cliche.
The fear is there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you are.
And
afraid
sometimes
of.
You just stand there and you just don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what step to take to step near, you know, to whatever you want to achieve.
Yeah, and this is where I give you a break, man, and like let you ask me any question that you have in mind, anything about me or not about me, a random question, one or two or three questions that you have that you're curious about. Go for it, man.
So if there's anyone you could be like whatever you want to do, like video interview like this, like any artist, musician, whatever, that you could sit with right now, who would it be? Who would it be?
First off, bro, like, remember you said, like, sometimes you need to get to where you have to go to get to where you want to be. Like, with people, with dreams, with goals and stuff. That's what I have. And my end goal is not even interview and not even videos. Yep, yep, it's, like, one of those things where I came from, Malaysia. Coming up, it's hard. And you have to prove yourself. Not everyone will agree to this because it depends on where you came from. You might have been dealt with a different card coming from where you are and going to Malaysia and being your age, right? And from my perspective, it was hard, and I had to find my way in. So all these things that I'm doing now is actually
luckily for me, all this stuff kind of feels easy.
Mm-hmm.
But I just feel that's because the past generations have done so much
for you,
like for me to be in the position I'm in right now.
Exactly.
So it kind of feels like they've already done the hard part, you know. So I consider myself lucky in that case as well.
Yeah, you are in a way.
I'm very lucky.
Yeah. I'm I'm also grateful for what I have and what I've been through and where I came from and the perspective that I have. Because
you learn stuff from that.
Yeah. At the same time, it also makes me my skin a little bit more thicker, you know? And yeah, but
I think it has to be.
It has to be, yeah. But what I'm trying to say is everything that I know, droning, videos, mixing, like whatever it is, talking to a human being, everything will come back to the music, which is
relevant. Everything will lead up to.
Yeah, which is relevant to what we have here, what you are interested in, and the fact that you're starting to shoot video, the fact that you're now doing photos, and I don't know, in Malaysia, I've said this to you one time. I think one day you're just going to get into video, man. At some point.
You said that to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and it was a beginning stage. I don't know. I forgot what it was. But it was in your apartment. It wasn't outside. It was in your apartment. It was before your internship. Yeah, I remember you
said... I think it was even before I started shooting film.
Yeah.
It was when I... got my first digital tilt camera, I think.
Yeah,
Canon DSLR.
I think so.
Like my parents bought it, and I paid. I think it must have been like 500 euros or 600 euros.
Damn.
And I paid all the money for the camera back, in I think like 1 year, 1.5 years from just saving up whatever I got, and I paid them back for the camera. And that was the first camera I got, and then I shot with that camera I think for a year, and then I started shooting with like the small disposable camera, and then when I was in Germany I got actual cameras, and then so you were saying your end goal is like to be a musician.
No, that would be my not end goal. End goal is
okay. What
my message will be, through music.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
I'm planting seeds all over. You know, like, let's just say the whole idea is I'm trying to cook, right? I'm trying to make a dish, right? But I'm learning how to cut the carrots. I'm learning how to make these spices.
I'm learning how to do
all these. At the end of the day, it's still about that cooking.
So the full dish would be
the music.
You making music.
Yeah.
And all the stuff you've done before that is gonna tie back into the music thing.
It is.
And once the dish is eaten,
then it ties back to everything, like bringing up your family and your little kid and the story of you, how I can relate to your grandfather jumping the ship, and me being based anywhere but Malaysia, which is highly likely Germany, and my kid will feel a lot different, like you, and my kid will say the same thing, like, oh, my dad did this for me, that's why I'm here right now, and then he will.
It's all crazy.
And then you'll be someone big, and then you'll be like, oh shit, do you know that Hello Kopi Kumilo podcast is like a No Jumper, man? That guy is like No Jumper. He sees someone before he went big. And
shout out Adam 32.
They go back to this interview and they'll be like, what? That happened in Mannheim? And then everything connects. And then they realize that I met you before you hit puberty.
Where do you see yourself being in 2 years? Where do you want to be? What do you want to achieve by then? And I feel like that's kind of a hard question because you're just like at the beginning of trying to figure it out, you know?
Yeah. No, I can answer it. No, it's aliens. I was visualizing just now.
Okay.
It would be me being on stage at Good Vibes.
Being Russ.
No. I'll say it. 2 years ago, I was here on stage. They didn't let me talk to my favorite artist. They didn't even let me shook his hand, and that is the reason why I'm here today. And for those out there, for those people out there who don't believe in you and tell that you can't do something,
you can.
Do not listen to them, because the reason why I'm here today is because of all these naysayers. Malaysia, you just make it somewhere else, then they'll respect you. You try to prove yourself there.
Since I've been in Malaysia, and know the people and know the stuff, is like, this is no disrespect to any Malaysian, okay? But I kind of feel like they're haters, you know? They have this weird arrogance where it's like, if you're just someone
that isn't there yet. They don't respect it.
Yeah.
Or a lot of people don't, you know? It's also not majority, but like, it's just like, for example, what is the Flizzle?
The Joe Flizzle, yeah.
Joe Flizzle. Like, I met him. Like, I was at a shop, and then he just entered the shop. I was like, oh shit, that's Flizzle. And then I went up to him, shook his hand, said hi. And it kind of felt like he didn't even, like, you know, like, you know, he didn't really, like, didn't seem like he cared that someone just came up to him and shook his hand. I don't want to be hating, you know, because, like, I guess, like, his ego is huge, you know, because he's been cool with, like, some of the guys from Wu-Tang Clan, and he showed them around when they came to Malaysia. He went to New York and did right there, was interviewed by Hot 97 and stuff, like Ebro in the Morning, and he was like, he was there, you know, like, and that comes back to what you said. He's like madly respected in Malaysia because he made it somewhere else, you know, and now he came back to Malaysia and is like putting on people from Indonesia with this, like, with this, like, he has like this Exactly. In his bar, in his shop, you know, in the barber shop, where he gets like these people to freestyle. So it's like, I guess it's like, and I don't even see it in a bad way. You know, you could be like, ah, fuck all these people that made it, and be like, they're just arrogant idiots like that. You know?
Yeah.
I feel like it's like, all right, that's just the way you think. You know? So I'm not there to hate it or to be like, ah, he's a dick. But I was just like, that kind of pushes me at the same time, you know? Because like people being like retarded, not really like giving you like a voice or like caring for what you have to say because you didn't make it yet, kind of pushes you to be someone, you know?
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, I feel like that's not a good, it's not good to be like a hater, like, you know, it's not good to have this like mentality to to only start respecting someone once they made it or made something, and just making it is already just like you have to put that in perspective. What does that mean to you, you know? Because I don't know, someone could be taking a picture of the smallest musician in the world, but he's the biggest fan of him. And he took that picture and he feels like he made it for just taking the picture of him, you know? But that might not be making it in someone else's eyes, you know? So I feel like you should, like, just have a general respect for anyone. Doesn't even matter, like, whether they made it or whether they're someone. And who says you're someone, you know? But I just, that's the only thing I really disliked about some Malaysians. But also there's like other people's, like most of the people I have experiences with or met in Malaysia and that shape who I'm right now, that are like, I've just had the sickest experience with them, you know? They're the one of the nicest people I've ever met.
Yeah.
And like I'm still cool with some of them till this day, you know?
Exactly.
So like, yeah.
No, I mean, it's back to where I'm saying, like, when I'm
shout out Malaysia.
Yeah, when I'm big one day, they will, it's not like out of spite, out of revenge or anything, but that's how I see it in my head. When I'm big in Europe, automatically everyone wants to claim, oh, he's from Malaysia. You know, all these people behind me is gonna be like, oh, he's from Malaysia. Oh, they'll, we're so be proud of you. That someone, yeah, we're so proud of you, man. That kind of thing.
It's also like, the thing that kind of pushes me is like seeing all this the people that don't get it, that don't get what I'm saying, that when I'm saying like, oh, I'm gonna be this guy or this guy, I'm gonna do that or that, and the people that are just like thinking like, yeah man, whatever, you know, keep talking, like the people that
say that to me or think that about me, that kind of pushes me to just do it, you know? Yeah. Sometimes it's like time to just shut up and just do and show the people, you know?
Yeah.
Which is like kind of like pushing me.
Mm-hmm. Back to the first question that you said, who would it be to just meet in the foreseeable future would be Russ, man. That Russ. Ties back to
the moment.
To that moment.
You wanted to shake his hand, but you couldn't.
And I want to thank him that
for not shaking
my hand. Yeah.
Dude, honestly, I respect that a lot.
Do you know the vision behind that? It's going to be like a song with him talking about that moment. You know what? It leads back to the whole thing because I don't want to create something that is not
you. You know what? It just came into my mind.
Uh-huh.
What if, like, what you now think to be the end dish is just another tool for a greater dish, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
it's just like you now think that the plate is going to be you making music. But what if you making music is just learning how to cut another carrot, you know?
Exactly, man.
You know what I
mean? Yeah, I understand what you mean. You, I get it.
You kind of wouldn't know, you know?
Yeah.
Like, exactly for the same for me. Like, for me, it's like even more than for you because you're older. You've done more to try to achieve what you want to achieve and stuff like that, you know? For me, it's just like, I don't really have anything to say, actually, you know? Like everything I just said is like kind of irrelevant, you know, because who am I to say?
Yeah, that's how the world works. They want something that you've done to make a point about something that you will do, but that's not how I function, and that's not how you function as well. I see, like, seeing things into fruition, you have to not see it before it can happen. But if you already see it, then what's the point? You know, I mean, if you already exist, then what's the point? If you already have, I don't know, no offense to the people in the corporate world, to the people who works hard.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, that's how they function. Oh, I have this.
That's their way of being happy. Yeah, like, for example,
I have this degree and I have this. I proved to my client that I got this client before, so I'm good about this. I can do this. Yeah. You know, but that's not how it works in a creative world. You have to see something that doesn't exist and it will exist, and that's how the world works, you know, creating something out of nothing.
I just want to tell you this one story. There's this guy in our school. I don't know him, you know, but it's like my friends told me that what he said was in Germany the marks for exams and stuff are way different. It's like from 1 to 6, 1 being the best grade and 6 being the worst grade. And his average, like, from all exams throughout the whole year was 1.2 or 1.1, which is, like, incredibly good, you know? It's like, you can't complain at all. That is just crazy, you know? And he said, no, I'm going to do the year again because that's a failure to me. You can kind of look up to that, but at the same time, we think, like, what the hell is wrong with you, you know? And people like that are going to be the bosses in the corporate world, you know? They're going to be, like, people like that, like, are, like, kind of this crazy, you know? At least to me, that's crazy, you know? Because if I had, like, an average of 1.2, I'd be, like, the happiest person alive, you know? Because school does not... School and me, we don't work together. You know, it, like, doesn't function. but like, you know, that's gonna be the boss that you work for 8 hours a day every day. You know, and I just can't see myself doing that. You know, and it's without the people though that do that, like, this world wouldn't exist. You know, and. If all people were like us, then also there would be no world like this, you know?
Yeah.
Then also, most probably, the world wouldn't work, you know?
Yeah. We need a little bit of everything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
everything exists for a reason. If you could say anything to your mom and dad right now that's not in front of them, as in, like, you don't have to say it awkwardly right to their face, but if you could say something to your mom and dad without saying to them directly right now, what would it be?
Okay,
this is gonna be cringy, but I would just say thank you for like just like giving whatever I have right now to me, you know. And I would like thank them for the way they raised me, because like I feel like the way they raised me is like really, really good. I look up to that, and then if I may have kids in the future, then I think I would be like kind of similar to my children. And sometimes I'd wish that they like just trust me more, but it's kind of hard as parents, I think, because you always want the best for your kid, and it's kind of hard to just like close your eyes and look away, you know.
Yeah,
that kind of thing. But just, and like even though it like may not seem sometimes to them that I'm thankful, or I actually feel that I'm blessed, sometimes it might feel for them as though I'm taking everything for granted, which I'm not at all, but I could see why they sometimes would think that. So like I'll just say that I know very much how blessed I am, and I know very much that I'm very lucky, and yeah, just thankful for them, you know. And I would know that like I wouldn't be in the position that I am in right now if like my dad wouldn't work as hard as he does, and if my mom wasn't like she was, you know. So it's like I'm very thankful just to have them and them being who they are. And also it's like, you know, my dad is kind of the person that, even though it might maybe not seem to you that way, but it's like I think I'm like the polar opposite person of him, because he's more like, I would say, the corporate person that we talked about, that he actually like gets excitement from having a degree. You know, he's like, he's 41 years old and he just started a new studies right now. He's studying something new, you know, which like I don't understand that, but that's just his way to be happy, you know. And that just, he just gets like a good feeling, I guess, from education and learning different stuff and learning more, you know, and having more degrees, which like I can respect a lot, but it's just not me, you know. I don't think that I'll ever be that way. And sometimes I feel like his like he has like, he places a different value on education than I do. And that is 100%, I think, maybe because of the way he was raised and what his parents like taught him, you know, and the way like stuff was maybe enforced on him, like to be like working hard in school and writing good grades and stuff like that. And I think I do challenge him in that way a lot, because we're just different people, you know. And it's like sometimes I feel like we don't actually have anything in common, but then at the same time it's like still like kind of, you're kind of forced to like work together because your family, you know what I mean. So it's like, I don't know, like one day I'll think like when I am at a point where I'm actually like making money myself, doing what I want to do, and he sees that I'm doing what I'm doing, you know, then he'll like maybe get it, because he, I feel like maybe that's not the case, but like I feel like he doesn't really get it. My mom gets it more, I feel like. And yeah, so it's, I think that's because that's the only thing that makes it difficult, because we're just like completely different people, and you can never choose family, and you never know, you know. So it's like, I don't know, it's kind of interesting but kind of weird at the same time.
Actually I understand where you're coming from though, but then like you said, you can't really choose your family, and it's important that you are grateful for it, because
100%.
Yeah, because like without it, you can't be the person that you are today.
Exactly.
It's like he has to play his part so that you can be the artist that you are.
Because
if life was different, if life was different, you might have to work two jobs to be able to afford your room or your camera.
Yeah,
you know,
that kind of thing. 100%.
You'll be
maybe like if my mom met another guy that isn't as hard working as hard as
he is, you know. My mom maybe wouldn't even be able to afford anything to make it easier for me to pursue my passions and stuff like that. Yeah. That's what I wanted to say, you know.
Sacrificed a lot to. Sure, yeah, I mean, yeah, I mean, that's the thing about life. People put the right people for the right reasons.
You know,
everything happens for a reason, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
It does.
Yeah. At the end of the day, now it's just the beginning, but at the end of the day, when everything is said and done, right, bro, how do you want the world to remember you as Abi?
That's actually something I've thought about before. I want to be... I want to get to a point where I'm someone and I want to be in a position where I can be the someone a kid like me right now would wish to meet to put them on, you know? So like I want to be someone that a kid like me, like I wish there was a person that I would meet that would open all these doors for me, you know? So I hopefully when I'm like older, I can be that person to someone, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
And just helping out people and being someone like people can relate to, I think, and taking maybe as a role model, you know, as to, or just being just living proof that you can do whatever you want to do. Sounds also everything I said today, I think, sounds a little corny, but.
Yeah, I mean, it is what we are, man. It is our visualization for the upcoming manifestation, man.
Yeah. And I just wanted to create maybe projects, maybe like photo books, magazines of some kind of relevance. And the relevance isn't most probably not going to be like relevant for the majority of people, but for some subculture, for some interested people, and just create, you know, like what I really want to do. Like I wrote on a list, like is to like shoot enough pictures that are sick to me and that I really like that I would put into a magazine, small magazine. Next year I want to do that. Like next year I want to maybe next year or maybe beginning of 2021, I want to be like producing a small amount of magazines, like 50 small magazines maybe.
Nice.
And then just nice. I want to do that definitely.
This is
and
definitely
also I want to do intern for like magazines.
Yeah,
maybe magazines or like different companies.
Yeah.
Like, actually, Heist Nobiety is based in Berlin, so
that is a highly possible chance.
And then O32C, you can see there is also from Berlin. I actually met one of the founders, but I was like so nervous. I was like, man, thank you for O35P or something like that. You know, I didn't even say it right. So, but yeah, maybe intern for them.
Yeah.
Just like different. And then also, I just want to be like, I just want to see and document a lot. I feel like that's just a thing with photography, you know. Photography is there to like it's there to document, and it's whenever you look like at a picture you can think back of a time or think back of exactly that moment when you shot the picture and what happened, you know.
Yeah,
crazy story with your friends maybe, you know.
It's a snippet of a moment, man.
Like for example the picture of Juju Rogers. you know it's like you create you like have stories in mind for every picture you take, I think. And just take meaningful pictures, I hope. Just one question, do you think your parents or your mother or understands what you're trying to do, or are you still trying to prove to them?
No, man. My mom understands.
Okay.
I told my mom specifically that one day I told my mom and my younger brother specifically about the good vibes thing.
Uh-huh.
And I told my mom that I'm gonna buy her a specific car that is like blue what is that car called, Range Rover. Mm-hmm. Blue Range Rover. Mm-hmm. That one specifically I'm gonna buy for her. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, bro, she cried.
Yeah
dude, I actually told her that. I actually told my brother and my mom at a specific it's in Malacca actually, that we're gonna be, I'm gonna be on stage and I'm gonna be performing in front of these people, and you something that you will not understand, but it's just something that I have to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And from you just saying like your mom cried, I can remember I said like, that's what I said with like communicating your vision. I talked to my mom and I told her all the stuff I want to do and I'm gonna do. It's not even I want to do, I'm gonna do all that, you know. And you know, I said it so like as if it's like really gonna happen. It's just something easy, you know. I said I'm gonna meet this, I'm gonna meet that guy, I'm gonna do this, as if it was like so just the most normal thing on earth, you know. And she started crying, you know. And then I was like, why are you crying? And then it was just like, she thought I was taking everything so easy and thinking like that everything is gonna fall into my lap. And she was just scared that what if all that stuff doesn't happen and like this is just like some weird dream some teenager has, you know. That's, and then like, I was like kind of fascinated that she cried, you know.
Our mothers have sacrificed a lot for us to be able to think this way, because thinking this way is the only reason why magic things happen.
100%.
The secret sauce to this world is thinking, man. It's thinking things into existence. Yep. But not many people realize that. That is a secret. But to get to be able to be in this position to actually believe firmly is you need a comfortable background to have the space, to have the mental
That's
space.
Exactly what I meant with saying we're just already in a blessed position to be able to try to be creative, to be able to chase our goals, you know.
Yeah, exactly, that's where we are.
Yeah 100%. We might, because my granddad, when he came from Egypt, he couldn't say, oh, I want to be the biggest musician or something like that, you know, because he had to focus on just surviving, you know. He had to focus on getting to Germany. How did he do that? He was on a ship, you know. And then once he's in Germany, dude, how is he gonna earn money? He doesn't speak German. He learned German. He had like this travel agency, you know. He had his like own basically company, I think. And then he had a German wife. He founded a family, you know. Like called my mother, my uncle, you know. It's like he didn't even have time to worry about his dreams, you know?
The reason why I laugh, because speaking of a German wife, bro.
That's what you're going to do.
The conversation that we had today.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, man. Imagine if everything happens, bro. Imagine like everything that we say today actually happens.
It's going to happen. Maybe not in the way we're thinking about it right now, but all this stuff. Where stuff is going to happen.
Imagine if it happens exactly, bro. This interview will be the scariest interview ever.
It's just a testament of time. And then once,
it's not even an interview, to be honest. It's a conversation.
This
is a documented conversation.
No, like one day when I'll photograph Frank Ocean, Tyler the Creator, ASAP Rocky, Skepta next year, all these people, it have my first book out. I'm gonna listen back to this interview and be like, damn, this kid actually knew what he was talking about. And at the same time, you know, it's all just like dreams, so to say.
Yeah.
All the shit might not come true, but it will.
But it will. All this shit might not come true, but it will.
Yep.
Thank you so much, bro.
Thank you.
So much. Bang.
Bang. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's like old times. Thank you, man.
Thank you, bro.
1 hour.
Shout out Malaysia.
Shout out Germany.
Shout out Masses Malaysia gang.
Shout out Mannheim. Shout out German chicks.
Shout out Germany.
Shout out to my future wife.
Shout out my grandfather. Shout out everyone.
Yeah, I want to meet your grandfather, man.
Yeah, you should.
Where is he based in?
Darmstadt, near Frankfurt.
That's where I was born. You'll meet him.
Little Kobe Camilo podcast. Milo Fico signing out.